MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Joe Cavatoni. He is marketing strategist at the World Gold Council. Joe, appreciate the time. Your gold demand trend Q3 2025 just come out. The first sentence of the report really highlights it for me. Total demand, including OTC, up 3%, 1,313 tons, the highest quarterly total in your data series. There's a fundamental shift happening here in gold. 10 years ago, we hardly spoke about it. This show's 5.5 years old. Even 5.5 years ago, it was, I don't want to say fringe, but it's become mainstream in a sense, which is a big change.
Simon, I couldn't agree with you more. The second line in the statement that you're talking to in the report talks about the volume in dollar terms of what's going on.
Yeah.
That number has jumped about 41%. Now, what you're seeing for sure is definitely a better understanding of how the asset performs. Mm-hmm. What are the drivers of moving the gold market forward and higher?
Yeah.
And actually, fundamentally, investors looking at portfolio resilience in a very challenging environment, and a structural shift in how central banks are managing their reserves. Those are the two big driving forces behind an increasing gold price and demand flows.
I'll get to central banks in a moment. That portfolio resilience. My grandfather grew up, traded through the 70s and 80s. Of course, gold was big back then. And he always said to me, 5 to 10% of your portfolio in gold. And I'll be honest, I ignored him until about 4 or 5 years ago. Now I'm at that number and maybe a little higher. And that is the base part of my portfolio. The fact that the price has almost doubled this year is kind of a bonus, but not really the feature of it. It's there to provide that core resilience to a portfolio.
It sure does provide that resilience. And actually, what it does do with economic expansion mm-hmm. is it actually provides long-term returns.
Yeah.
And that's where we want to make sure everybody understands that. But it also gives you that protection when the market is turning against you in risk assets
mm-hmm.
and actually prices are declining quickly. You want to have that safe haven nature of gold in your portfolio. Bonds and equities in today's environment are having higher correlation behaviors yeah. that are similar. And this is the kind of asset that actually diversifies away from that concerning, you know, similarities and correlations. Gold has a definite unique characteristic to it. Now, when you're talking about allocations, you're looking at, you know, lower numbers than maybe we would have expected mm-hmm. on a lot of different surveys that people have done. Maybe it's 1%, 1.5%. But the numbers people are talking to today, and it's starting to show itself in the ETF flows as an example,
yep.
with a record quarter in terms of overall tons and also in dollar flows, chasing down the ETFs both in Asia and the US, and to that extent as well in Europe. So this is definitely a shift on the investor sentiment. Finding a home for gold, a larger percentage allocation, and basically giving you good returns on the upside and protection on the downside.
Yeah, that bond equity correlation is now almost one, particularly when things go a little bit wild. There's also what surprised me perhaps about this report was less price sensitivity than I would have expected. The fact that, I mean, you know, gold is in October got above 4,000, but during this period it was the whole period above $3,000, and there wasn't that price sensitivity I would have thought we would have seen.
So there's two things that I'd say to that. As it relates to the uncertainty, the risk in markets and investors being less sensitive to the price,
yeah.
I would agree. Momentum has definitely pushed us in the last month and a half to 2 months for sure, which is why you're seeing a higher level of volatility with gold and yeah. some of the pullback that we have been seeing from 60 some odd percent return in dollar terms to about a 50, 52% return here today. So definitely less sensitivity around the pricing, because risk and uncertainty is really challenging to manage right now. But price is definitely having an impact on another area in the gold market, which I'm sure you want to mm-hmm. talk to, and that is jewelry, which still in most of the emerging market world is a large form of savings, auspicious investment,
yeah.
and actually, you know, wealth preservation. There you're seeing China, India as good examples, having continued slowing down of demand in the case of jewelry. So it's not stopping. It's still a major component, but it's much more price sensitive. And actually, that's where I think we're seeing the price impact where the demand is at this stage.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to central banks. The up 28% versus previous quarter. It is a little slower year to date, but there is buying, and there's notable. You mentioned that the Central Bank of Brazil, for example, added gold for the first time since 2021. Kazakhstan, the largest buyer in Q3, and that's another fundamental shift that we've seen over the last. It's been happening for probably, I think maybe since the late teens, but fundamentally changed in the last three and a half years.
Yeah, we're into our 16th year of net buying by the central banking community. You know, and what you're seeing this year, still these are significant flows, even though Q3 of 2024 and Q3 of 2025 are showing slowing down. It's definitely running at very significant levels. We're still somewhere in the range of 640 tons year to date. So we're looking very high relative to the overall average over the last 15 years. But remember, putting it into context, this is a shift in how these reserve assets are being structurally managed and the diversification they're looking for in the emerging market central bank community in particular. They're looking at how assets are going to correlate and how they're going to behave and what they can do to not only insulate them on global geopolitical pressures, but also on the home front, the political, the economic conditions within their own borders. What's the best thing they could add? And our survey report tells us over the next 5 years, they're going to be less reliant on fiat currencies, the dollar, the euro, and more interested in the right kind of diversifiers. And that's what you're seeing in terms of the central bank trend continuing. Again, amongst the emerging central banks, in particular, emerging markets and banks in particular.
Let's touch to supply. Total supply year on year up 3%. Some of that mine production, 2%. Supply, I mean, if I'm a gold miner, I'm trying to get as much out of the ground as I can. I'm looking for new mines. I'm looking to mothball maybe closed mines. But none of that is a quick process. The mines can't sort of keep up. Supply is, I don't want to say constrained, but it's not going to run away in any sense in the short term either.
Well, it's definitely not going to keep pace with what we're seeing on the demand side. And I think that's the key. So when you think about the growth of mining, and look, the all-in sustainable cost for mining companies is definitely higher than it has been over the last few years. But definitely the mining companies are taking advantage of these higher prices and moving as quickly as they can to get production in, which is why I think you're seeing a higher number in Q3 and possibly a record for 24-25 in terms of the full year, in terms of the outlook. But again, you're right, doesn't happen quickly, and it does take a lot of time. The other issue I'd highlight is the fact that there are mines coming online and some that are coming offline. So in that context, it's looking likely to be stable. Now, on the supply side, though, there is one other element that definitely factors in and probably a really interesting point for your listeners to pay attention to. When prices are high, I've highlighted the fact that jewelry demand is down. But what we haven't seen happen is recycling, the other form of supply, coming up at a very substantial level or a pace that we would have maybe expected. And what is that telling us, reading a bit into what they're doing? It's basically telling us that the distressed selling or the urgency to unwind, maybe there's more upside from that side of the community saying, maybe I can't buy more, but I'm not going to necessarily liquidate what I do have.
Yeah.
Good. So I thought that's a very interesting point that the report highlights.
Yeah, they're absolutely holding on. I'm also, I'm expecting to start seeing more hedging from the producers as well, because, I mean, as you say, your all-in sustained cost is probably higher. In most cases, it's probably below $2,000. You can hedge it around $4,000. Do we expect to see more hedging in the quarters ahead?
I think it's a very good observation. It's something that we'll keep a watch on. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been as large as we would have expected.
Yeah.
But then again, this is about, I think, really getting production online more than anything at this stage.
Yeah. Get those new mines working or get more out of existing mines, as the case may be. We'll leave it there. That's Joe Cavatoni, Marketing Strategist, World Gold Council. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning Markets.